Hey everybody, welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and before we get started, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I wanted to thank you for listening and supporting our ministry. Since it's December, we're actually re-airing some of our Best of 2025 special programs featuring messages of hope and encouragement from throughout the year shared by some of our most popular guests. With so many people hurting right now, we want to continue being the hands and feet of Jesus by offering people care and providing resources that help you build stronger relationships with God and with those around you. But we can only do this with your help. If you feel led to support our ministry, visit aaccfoundation.org. Again, that's aaccfoundation.org to make a tax-deductible donation that will allow you to be the hands and feet of Jesus alongside of us.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Well, thanks, Dad. I'm Dr. Zach.
Joining me on today's show is Victor Marks. He's a former U.S. Marine, humanitarian, and high-energy communicator known for his incredible story of overcoming both trauma and abuse. Through his organization, All Things Possible Ministries, he's brought hope and healing to victims of war, trafficking, and exploitation around the world. Now, Victor's taken on a new mission as he runs for governor of Colorado. Victor, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us, my friend.
Well, you're welcome. I'm excited to be able to call you Dr. Clinton.
Hey, for the first time. Thank you so much, sir.
Way to get it.
Thank you. I tell you what, it was a lot of hard work, but I think stories like yours and stories of just resilience just remind me to keep going, to persevere. Let me say this, Victor. Thank you for your service, for your sacrifice to this great land. And that never stopped for you. You continue on to this day, every day. And that's what I want to dive into and unpack today, right? Freedom is not free. Yeah. Someone always pays the price. And I just am so grateful that Victor Marks is always paying that price. You know, Dad and I were chatting about it recently, just watching what God is doing in and through you. And I watched your recent post, you and Eileen, talking about how God was calling you, what he had called you to originally, All Things Possible. As I mentioned, you guys just fighting and rescue missions for victims of war, for human trafficking, for exploitation, and God has done something special, and he's continuing to do something special through that ministry. But then you felt the nudge or the pulling by the Holy Spirit to go and to run for governor of the state of Colorado, which is a state that you call home, a place that you deeply love. I'm interested just to hear, when were you feeling that nudge, and what have the last couple of months been like for you, my friend?
Yeah, well, after 22 years of being in full-time service with All Things Possible, something we founded actually when I was working for Dr. Dobson, James Dobson.
Wow.
We went from that to that ministry, and never did I think I would ever leave it. Mm. But two things, it's not ministry that my identity is hidden in. So oftentimes, man, we hide our identity in the things we do. I tell folks I'm not addicted to titles or even deeds or exploits. The only addiction I have is, in following Christ. And I don't say that as some super spiritual giant, because I'm not. But that's where I found I get the most joy and peace from. So what happened earlier this year is what I call a recommissioning. I'm still in ministry.
Yep.
I'm still actively following the Lord, but this time it's going to be in the political battlefield. It's more than an arena. It's absolutely a battlefield.
But as you've mentioned, evil has been on full display, just more and more. It's becoming more and more prevalent. We do live in times that, you know, some people are calling that good evil and evil good. I mean, it's just a mess.
Yep.
And I'm just thinking back to September 10th, Charlie Kirk's assassination. I texted you that evening when I saw everything going on in the news, and I was just saying I was praying for you because I knew that you had a personal relationship to Charlie. And I'm thinking about Dr. Dobson, right, who passed away. You had a very close relationship to Dr. Dobson, and these men, these heroes in the faith that are ending up losing their lives, risking it all, passing away from longevity. But at the end of the day, I'm interested just how far you believe this country has fallen, but also if some of these passings have sparked something within you, a different level of urgency, a different level of courage to go and fight the fight of faith like you've never fought before.
Well, Zach, you're reading my mail. Yeah, you're spot on. First with Dr. Dobson, it was tough. I worked for him, so he was a boss who became a mentor, who ultimately became a friend. Mm-hmm. We're right here in my old shooting range where he called one time and said, "Hey, Victor, can y'all teach Shirley how to shoot? Because I want her to be able to fire a weapon when I'm gone." And that was him. He's the epitome of a dangerous gentleman. And they came out, my wife taught Shirley how to shoot, and she was really good. And even Doc was just getting on it. And we had a great time. But his passing, which we all knew was inevitable, he was certainly one of the giants.
Yeah.
And that one hurt. After he passed, I didn't realize how much I looked up to him as a dad.
Yeah.
You know, we choose people to mentor us from afar, or in some places up close, but he really was a father figure to me, so that one hurt. But here's what I've never told anybody, and you can attest, I really saw Dr. Dobson almost, in a sense, putting his mantle on Charlie in so many ways when we were on the stage. And I remember sitting in the audience and both of them talking about me at that event at the gathering at the Broadmoor. And it was humbling, but they're both talking, and I remember telling people, "Man, I see who God's raising up. It's Charlie."
Yes.
And I made a post. I said, "I believe Charlie Kirk is the most important man to our nation's future." And I was right. It was just in a different way. And I'll tell you, you know, I wrote that book, Dangerous Gentleman, and Charlie had asked me to be one of his mentors, and I loved it. I loved him and Erica, and seeing them have their first baby and their second. And a lot of people don't know our youngest son was actually an assistant to Charlie.
Wow.
At Turning Point.
Wow.
Their personal assistant. But I think what I'm still trying to process is that book I wrote from my life experiences and then other men, incredible men, that I know the tension in our lives is always living full throttle, completely surrendered. We don't know any other way, because compromise makes you feel like a hypocrite. And so I expect and I demand it out of young men, and Charlie did. And, you know, he wrote the foreword to that book. And the last part of his foreword was, you know, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So he understood the assignment. He took the risk. Every time he went out there, he had so many death threats. And this one was hurt pretty good, where we're still working through it. We actually responded quickly. I text Erica. And I just said, "Erica, we love you. No one's coming for you or the kids. You're safe." Because I know that's what Charlie would want her to know. And then we immediately went down to Arizona when she got back. And we provided a specialized security detail.
Yeah.
Because their team was pretty beat up, obviously. They were shook. And I know him. And I checked on Dan. You know, I checked on Frank. He was right there. We were there for the week. And then when it came time for the memorial, I remember waking up and I told Eileen, I said, I don't want to go. Mm. Just where I'm at right now, having been with Erica and Turning Point and everybody for this week, I just want to go home. Mm. And we did. We forego that big memorial. I had somebody say, well, my gosh, well, why didn't you go? Why weren't you there? You know, people on the internet who, you know, 99% of the people are so good, and there's 1%, they're just complete idiots, boneheads. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, they have no idea I was holding Charlie's hand. I hope people don't let this assassination and his sacrifice fade, ever. And I believe it has created a window of time.
Yes.
And this is where we have to take ground. And again, do it in love.
Yes.
But unapologetically. Mm-hmm. And I pray, I mean, there's organizations like the Patriot Academy raising up leaders in the political world, mm-hmm. young men and women, with Rick Green. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And I've always been on the peripheral, not directly involved with political scene, but supportive and part of the process. But stepping into it now, man, am I learning a lot. And I'm like, this is why the enemy doesn't want Christians involved and leaders, not just Christians.
Yes.
Because some Christians just suck at leadership.
Yeah.
It's like, that ain't your thing, man. Don't, that's your ego.
Yep.
But people understand how to lead, how to make solutions. We need them. Again, everybody runs in their own lane.
That's right. Everybody does.
Yeah.
But we need everybody together, unified now more than ever, like you said, to continue to advance and take ground.
Yeah.
You mentioned something. Billy Graham has the old quote that courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. And I feel like, you know, Charlie lived a life well lived, right? A faithful life, that he took it head on. He went straight into adversity, straight into the battlefield. But every day, right? Probably discouraged some days.
Oh,
probably,
yeah.
I can't even imagine, devastated, disappointed with the way that things were going. But he continued to show up. And when I think of somebody who embodies that, who mentored a man like Charlie, and I look at you, Victor, you embody resilience. And I've spent a lot of my life trying to understand what makes up a dangerous man, what makes somebody fearless, what makes somebody resilient. And although there's no concrete definition, the common theme is positive adaptation in the presence of adversity, a man who refuses to give up. I'd love for you just to share a little bit to our audience. You know, you mentioned and alluded to it a little bit a while ago. Your childhood, it wasn't easy, that's for sure. A lot of trauma, a lot of abuse, things that people couldn't even fathom enduring, but you endured. And I can't imagine the emotional turmoil that had on your life, but healing was possible. And look at the man and the leader that stands before us. But take us back to some of those times and how dark and difficult life was.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a saying, you either get bitter or better. And that's not a cliche. It hadn't been a cliche in my life. It's been sometimes daily decisions to go, man, you know, everybody experiences injustice in their life to varying degrees. Mine just came very early. And, you know, when you are raised in a highly dysfunctional or violent or abusive environment, that actually is your norm. Mm-hmm. So you don't know any other. You don't even, there's no difference.
Yeah.
It's when you start going to other kids' houses.
Yeah.
And you see how they eat, talk. And I tell people, you know, I have to believe in good and evil for my worldview to make sense. Mm-hmm. If not, then what is all this about? And I believe in evil as much as I believe in good, because you can often see evil.
Yeah.
Doesn't need a lot of explaining. Fortunately, my father, you know, didn't come back, was never a dad to us as kids. And my mother would marry 6 times. I went to 14 schools, lived in 17 different houses. But she married, first guy she married after my biological dad was a pedophile. And he was very abusive. And my siblings, they all suffered varying degrees. I can only tell my story. And but you know, he tortured me as a kid. He was very sadistic, and I mean, it was just simple. Dunk me in a tub till I passed out, electrocuting me, shocking me, and a bunch of evil stuff. And I tell folks, I don't like to glorify darkness. Yeah. And I'd like folks to know this, Zach. The shame is not theirs. Yeah. It never was. It's the abuser. So what do you do with it? Well, one, it makes you angry. Yep. And that's an absolute normal response to such evil done to. And that's what I tell people, don't try to pretend you're not angry. Anger, you got to do something with it. But typically anger is a secondary, as you know, emotion. So what's the first? Fear, betrayal, insecurity, you know, and then the lies that are assigned or attached with abuse of any type. It's significant.
Yes.
You'll never be loved. You're not loved. It's your fault. You're going to be just like your father. Or things you hear. I remember my mother, and I'm careful not. I don't ever want to dishonor my mom.
Yeah.
But she knows I share certain things. But in the sixth grade, I remember she was going out on a date. And again, she came from an abusive background. So unfortunately, she was trying to figure it out. But she had a fifth of whiskey in her hand. She grabbed me by the shirt and pulled me close. I remember her breath, just that alcohol. And she said, don't ever trust a woman. They'll only use you and get rid of you. Then she shoved me away and my head hit the wall. And, like, that wasn't mean to me. Mm-hmm. That was just like, wow, okay, I'll remember that. So guess what? I struggled in relationships. I never dated a girl more than 3 months. That was my kill switch, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And even when I met my bride, and I knew she was God's chosen for me, 3 months into our relationship, you know, she's like, honey, and we had already sent out a wedding invitation. She goes, I know something's not right. Mm. I don't know what it is, but she goes, I don't have to do with your mom. She goes, I'm not your mom, and I will never leave you. She goes, it doesn't matter. We'll postpone this wedding, and if you're 85 years old, and then you're comfortable, I'll be right there. And we can get married then. And I knew it. I knew for the first time in my life, someone loved me. Loved me. And I thank God, she's always been like that. Five children, five grandkids. So I won. I really did figure this out.
Yes.
And I couldn't do it without God, His Word, simple faith, and gut gritty obedience. In the hardest of times, and that's where my resiliency comes. It's not in my ability to figure things out. It's in the truth that I know God will, and He'll make a way. And it doesn't have to be my way.
Yeah.
But as long as it's His, I've learned to adjust and let Him redeem, even stuff I've messed up.
Yes.
So that's what I would tell young men. Don't give up. Don't let the mind games, the battlefield is your mind.
Yeah,
you don't have to go overseas or Southeast Asia or south of the border to in a warfare. It's pretty much every day, and it's in your brain. That's why the Bible says take every thought captive. So when a man can take his thoughts captive, he becomes dangerous to the forces of darkness, because that's the only play they have on him. Because, you know, if some woman walks up and she's trying to get you to commit adultery and she's brazen about it, that's not going to appeal to you or me. But you get those little thoughts, the little whispers, they build over time. They start to erode your moral code. And then someone who isn't as brazen comes in and it's just, hey, now you're going to be in trouble.
Yep.
That's why you have to stop it immediately. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that's one of my cheat codes for resiliency and being a dangerous gentleman.
Joshua 1:9, only be strong and courageous, not the absence of it, but the willingness to continue to progress, to pursue, to take ground in spite of it. Victor, how I want to close this conversation is this way. You're continuing to be used by God on the front lines of the political sphere, yeah. but also in ministry, continue in the mental health field. I mean, just so many things that God is continuing to do in and through your life and your leadership. But I'm thinking about the listener and the audience member out there today who's like, man, I'm not running for governor of a state.
Yeah.
I'm not somebody out there leading a massive ministry that's, again, continuing to rescue victims of war and persecution and so many different things that you've done throughout your life. But what can that person do to continually make a difference today?
Well, it's a question you asked about identity. Find your identity in Christ. Let your addiction be found in Christ. He's the one that has an adventure for you where only his mission for your life and the lane you're supposed to run in will bring you satisfaction, will bring you peace and fulfillment. And thank God you're not running for governor,
yes.
or facing rounds coming at you. There are some of us who do because we're called to it, but you never want to get in a different lane that you're not to. You're only supposed to appreciate people for what and how they're being used, but not envy it. Be faithful to what God has called you to do. Again, find your identity in him. My identity is not in running for governor or being governor. My identity is in Christ, because the day comes when you'll breathe your last, suddenly or slowly by age, and you're going to see him face to face. And just like Charlie wrote in my book, in that forward, you just want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
Well done, good and faithful servant. Continue to run your race with courage and conviction. Victor, my friend, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for your courage. I'm grateful for your compassion, your willingness to suffer.
I'm going to tell you one thing before we close.
Yeah.
You know, God has only allowed me to pour into what I call one percenters personally to spend time with or know. And you're one of those. You are the sort of Charlie, of that character, of that courage, of leading. It is you, and I'm grateful for you, and I'm humbled to be able to watch how God has used you, because trust me, my time overseas or with our task force here in the U.S. or run for governor, it's all equivalent to God's grace. And you're doing the exact same thing in the lane you're running in. So please, charge. Don't ever give up. And people need you.
I received that, my friend. Thank you so much. That means more to me than you will ever know. You know, in my nightstand, I still have the dagger, the knife that you gave me several years ago. And every time I open my nightstand and I see it, I pray for you and Eileen.
Thank you.
Really do. So we love you.
Thank you.
We're praying for you. We support you. We stand with you. And one final question.
Yeah.
Where can our audience members go to find out more about you and to support you every step of the way?
Well, I'm all over social media like everybody. And I would just say this. We need people praying for us for the campaign.
Yes.
And that's victor2026.com. And victormarks.com is our ministry and efforts. And those two places, if you go, you'll learn about ways you can help. And prayer is the most important, but there are other practical ways to help us advance.
To all of our audience members, I would encourage you, make sure that you continue to follow along, that you support this incredible man, that you pray for him, and let's continue to push him and champion him to the finish line. Victor, again, thank you for everything that you've done for me, the impact you've made on my life. Continue to run your race with endurance, my friend, because I'm in your corner every step of the way. Love and appreciate you. Thank you for your time.
You as well.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.